You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome, Tom. Welcome back. Yesterday was a good show. I don't know if we can keep that up, but we'll try.
Momentum, Steve. Momentum.
Momentum. You and I both don't believe in it. Yesterday's show will not have anything to do with today. Unless, of course, you want to change my mind.
I say we just try to establish the momentum. Let's see if we can do it.
Okay. I don't have any guests today. I'm hoping that people will call in and shoot their knowledge at me and us. We'll talk about today's developments in the Hall of Fame ballots for the Major League Baseball. That was one surprise, and the steroid era continues to take hits, correct?
Yes.
As it should?
Man, isn't that the difficult million-dollar question? Because every era has something about it that right. The next era can question.
Right. Did you see a show on ESPN on Sunday? I think it was on Sunday. Pete Rose and the Blacks and the Whites. Is it Black Sox? The 1919 gambling throwing of the Shoeless Joe Jackson throwing of the World Series. It was very good.
I didn't see that one, but I've seen a million documentaries.
Yeah,
on
it was really good. And you're right. Every era, not that, I'm sure the 40s and the 50s had its issues. But part of the reason why Pete Rose is not in the Hall of Fame is because you let Pete Rose in, you kind of open the floodgates.
And you had a guest on last week. We were talking, I'm trying to remember the writer's name, but we talked about why Pete Rose should or should not be in the Hall of Fame, and he was adamantly against it.
Tell me, who did I have?
Oh, I'm trying to remember. Baseball Hall of Fame writer, lives in Wyoming.
Oh, Tracy Ringlesby.
Yes.
That was a couple weeks ago. Yeah. Yeah, no, I get it. And he's one of the authorities on this. So I totally agree. But today, Derek Jeter got in, and so did Mr. Walker.
Larry Walker.
Those two, and only those two, right?
Yes.
And it was almost 100% sure. I mean, come on. It was 100% sure that Derek Jeter would be on all ballots, and he was not on one. Who is that guy?
I don't know.
You don't want to be that guy, and he was that guy. He would have tied Mariano Rivera for being the only other one for unanimous voting.
Yeah, and I don't believe in protest votes. You either vote for a guy.
Why would he protest
or you
him?
Don't. I don't know.
Because he's dating hot girls?
Some people some writers, fairly or unfairly, decide to not cast a vote or vote against a guy for whatever their personal reasons are.
I'm a geek writer. Shut up. Shut up, geek writer. I'm going to tell you to shut up, but I'm telling you, know what
right.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why? What? What? That makes no sense. But, yeah. But I know what you're saying because I hear the same thing. Well, I'm not going to do this. Well, part of it for the rest of the guys, the Barry Bonds, the Curt Schillings, the Clemens, the other guys, that's what's going on.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're against the steroid era ball players.
Right, right. And they have, how can I say this? If they have every right to feel that way, even though that we just talked about the bias or whatever. But it was very obvious, don't you think?
Yes.
So what did people say? They should make different buildings with asterisks?
And it comes down to, so for instance, Bonds is a great example. He was a 40-40 player as a skinny kid playing mm-hmm. for Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. all the talent in the world. It's hard to deny that all of a sudden he became a huge man and started crushing baseballs out of the park at a record clip.
Right.
He was still an incredibly talented player, still a Hall of Fame player. Mm-hmm. But do you consider steroids in an era when it wasn't banned, but it wasn't allowed, you know what I mean?
Right,
it was frowned upon.
Mm-hmm.
Is that cheating? Is that cheating? That's the question. Was it cheating?
Yeah, I have no answer for you on that one. But I know it's a kind of rhetorical question as well. Was it cheating or not cheating? Was it an advantage? It's like McGuire. I mean, that dude was a big dude anyway. Him and Canseco and all those guys.
Oh, yeah.
Huge dudes without this stuff. And then they take the stuff and even this more prolific, compound it even further. So, you know, the funny thing about it is, and I'm sure you played ball, it's hard to hit the ball no matter what.
Sure.
no matter what. Even the scandal now that's going on with Houston and all that stuff, it's tough to hit it anyway. And then it's obviously the advantage of knowing what you're going to have to hit, because when you're at that level, you're the best of the best. So you know how to get away with stuff in terms of being a good athlete. You know what you're capable of. So many times, if you know a changeup's coming, you can sit on it. Blah blah blah. And that's part of the deception of baseball. You don't know what's coming, but if you know what's coming, that's a big advantage.
Sure. Yeah, it's a lot easier. You don't have to guess. Okay, if it's a fastball, you know you've got to react quicker than you sit back on a breaking ball.
Sure, sure, sure. I know that's, like I say, that's the advantage of a baseball when you're the pitcher. It's already tough to be a pitcher these days. So, you know, I get it. But there's so many guys that have a hard time, are going to have a hard time. Is that the other notables? The rest? Look, Vizquel.
So you've got Kurt Schilling got 70% of the vote. So he's not at the 75% threshold. Bonds and Clemens. Bonds was 60.7, Clemens 61.0. They got a couple years of Hall eligibility remaining. And then lower down yet, Omar Vizquel 52.6, Scott Rolen 35.3, Billy Wagner 31.7, Gary Sheffield 30.5. Now you have to be on 30% of submitted ballots in order to remain eligible for another year. So that means that Paul Konerko, 2.5%, Jason Giambi, 1.5%, and Alfonso Soriano, 1.5%, did not get the 5% necessary to remain on the ballot.
So these guys, the Pete Roses, Barry Bonds, McGuire's, okay, you have these careers, fantastic careers, cheating or otherwise. How, and when I was watching this, this came to mind when I was watching the Pete Rose thing. How important is it to him to make that Hall of Fame? Knowing what you did, not the gambling, what you did on the field was good enough to do it. Does it really validate you if you're not, or if you are?
I think in Pete Rose's case, personally, and I've never talked to Pete Rose.
Sure, sure, but you know the type of guy he is.
And how hard he played the game.
Correct.
It sticks in his craw, I bet you.
Sure.
That he's not going to make the Hall of Fame.
Sure,
and
sure.
He's not going to get in.
I totally get it. He's not going to get in. And he'll die before he gets in.
Right.
And if he, that's not. And I loved Pete Rose. Loved the way he played. I was a Cincinnati Red fan as a kid. Have stuff at the house with Pete Rose. But I get it. But I'm thinking, okay, so you're not in the Hall of Fame. Do you know you're capable, or your numbers show that you should be? Who shot him in the foot?
Himself.
You, that's it. The end of the story.
Yeah.
And what about the Barry Bonds and the McGuires?
They're the ones who did it. Yeah. They knowingly, whatever they say, they knowingly took those substances to increase their performance.
Did you give it to them?
No, I did not.
I didn't give it to them. Who gave it to them? They gave it to them, didn't they? Or they were enabled by somebody else, but they took it.
Right.
I get it. And if you're not in, you're not in. I know it's kind of easy for me to say because I'm just here in Tucson, Arizona talking about it, but you know your numbers deserve to get in, short of doing what you did, if that makes any sense.
I think a lot of people, what bothers them is the fact that their legacy is called into question and more than their numbers.
And guess what? That'll never change.
No.
That'll never
change.
Whether
you're in or out.
Right. Exactly. And that's their fault again. Their legacy of being heck of a good baseball player or players, hey, there's no denying that, right? So at the end of the day, you're not in. Big deal. Your numbers are good enough.
Yeah.
But you're not as a person.
And that's the other thing. So that, Steve, and we can talk about this one, but the integrity of the game, is it about the integrity of the game?
Yeah, we talked about this, did we, last week?
Yeah.
Or
when we talked about Pete Rose last.
Yeah. To me, that's kind of foolish. It's like the integrity of marriage and the integrity of baseball and the integrity of a lot of things. What does that mean? You could kind of move the bar this way or the sand or whatever, and what does it mean? What's the divorce rate now? 60%, whatever?
I think it's a little over 50. I don't know.
Integrity of the game?
Yeah.
Integrity of marriage? Shut up. You make it what you want to make it. I don't know. I'm kind of talking gibberish. But you know what I'm saying.
I do.
I think you do. You can translate, Steve, right?
Yes.
You got your decoder. Moreno left the decoder with you?
Yes, he did.
I need to sell them on eBay for the listeners.
I have a little cheat sheet.
Yeah, yeah. This is what he means when he says this. When he gets red, that means he's upset. Let's take a quick break here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. In with me most of the time is Tom Callahan. So let's kind of switch gears. Unless anybody wants to call me, 790-2040. Call me late for dinner. Let's talk a little about U of A. So the basketball team in the latest bracketology, again, for whatever it's worth, here in mid-January, means nothing. They are picked fifth in the Midwest. That's a good seed. I still said, I think I made a bet here with somebody, it would be anywhere between 6 and 3, no worse than 6, and no higher than 3. I think they said 8 and 9, whatever that was. They made some saving grace last week against Utah and Colorado, and I think that'll be fine for the next week or so, and then who knows. All it takes is one game. And it's funny, Sean has his press conference on Thursday. I'm not sure I'm going to ask him this question because it's an obvious question or an obvious answer to this obvious question. In basketball, specifically, especially in this town and in towns like this with a good basketball program, you lose one to a team you should not have lost to, the end of the world is near. You sweep a team that are teams that you should have swept, guess what? All is good again. Don't you get that sense?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You lose one and it's the end of the world. Oh, can't coach, can't play. These guys are horrible, blah, blah, blah. You come back and you win two. That didn't happen. The bad things didn't happen. And every game's a season. I've always said this, the last 10, 12 years. Every game's a season because, like we talked about to begin the story, yesterday's show has nothing to do with today's show. So last Saturday's game will have nothing to do with Saturday's game against ASU. You believe that?
Yeah. The only sport, honestly, Steve, where I can think that each game matters some crazy high multiplier
football?
Amount is football.
Yeah.
Because there's
fewer games, correct.
That's it. But basketball or even baseball or hockey or anything else where you have a reasonably long season?
Sure.
No.
No, I agree with you. Because of the long season, right? And obviously they're all important. You want to win them all, but that ain't going to happen. When you play 162 games in a year, if you win, 100? That's fantastic.
Yeah. But you still lost 62.
You still lost 62. Yeah, in basketball, pro at least, 82 games. If you win 60, that's great. You're in the playoffs and you have a chance. What else? Football, if you lose 3 or 4, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
What's the records of the 49ers and the Chiefs?
Jeez.
Was it 14-2, 13-3, something like that, or whatever it was?
I think they were 13-3 and 12-4.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, you can lose there, but, you know, it's always about playing later in the year and playing well later in the year. And these two teams are obviously playing well. I know San Francisco beat, New Orleans in New Orleans in early December and hasn't really looked back. They played very well.
And that's, you know what, sometimes you get that win that can send you on your way.
Yeah, I think every team has that. Arizona had that in 97 when they won the national title, 13-3 and 12-4. Yeah, good pick. You just have that defining game that kind of propels you confidence-wise and everything else-wise, and you start winning, not with ease, but you start winning for some reason. We've talked about this, destiny.
You and I haven't talked about destiny, but I will sometimes throw the phrase around, oh, they're starting to look like a team of destiny. Now, do I believe that's an actual thing? Not really.
No.
No, I don't think that's a thing.
What would make you say that?
Because I think that in sports, it's kind of the any given Sunday thing, right? Any team can beat any other team and just reach up and punch you in the mouth. So, I think that there can be really unique sets of circumstances that bring a team together and you just have that feeling about you. But I mean, those teams don't always win. They don't always finish and win the championship.
Right, right. Because there's probably a better team in front of them.
Yeah.
And teams. Yeah. No, I agree with you. I believe in it. Destiny in a weird way. I couldn't tell you, maybe 97 was one of those years. It just felt right. It was just weird. They just played well enough. And then 98, when you think it's a definite, when they're even better than 97, and then they just poop in the Elite Eight, and it doesn't make sense.
That's the weird thing about sports, and that's why we all love it and simultaneously hate it, is because mm-hmm. when you have the best team you've had in years and you know it, mm-hmm. it doesn't guarantee you anything.
No, 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 no. In fact, I thought this today. I don't know where I was, but talent doesn't always win the day. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
Everyone here, too, when Sean goes after his recruits, and they're obviously very good recruits, top 10, top 5 classes, what has it gotten them? At the end of the day?
Nothing.
Nothing.
10 years of nothing.
Right, and that's why people even now are kind of saying, well, he's got to stop going after one and done. He's got to get better players where they can stay a little longer, yada, yada. It's all kind of luck of the draw. You have freshmen who play well together, kind of like this team. I think that has the ability to play well with a veteran group. It's just finding the right mix and finding the right attitude. And there's a reason why he gets paid a lot of money. He has to figure that out.
Right.
Yeah. And that's why coaches do it at most levels. I know we're kind of rambling. So fifth in the Midwest, we'll see if that gets higher in the next couple weeks, which is going to be key, and they'll get us to February when you start needing to play well at the right time.
Steve, how much difference is there in those, like, middle seeds?
That's a good question. In fact, I was looking at the seeds right now. Okay, so there are five. They have they would play... I'd have to go back to it. They'd have to play... eventually have to play a 4 the next game.
Right.
So obviously some people think that they're better than you, but 5s and 4s are pretty much equal. And then you start playing, have to play the 3s and the 2s, and then you're in trouble or have to play out of your mind to keep going. How much different this year? This year, it's a crapshoot, don't you think?
Yeah.
We talked about this a little bit yesterday. Who's the favorite? Who's the clear-cut favorite? I don't think there's one.
We couldn't figure that out.
But yeah. You know, you have the Blue Bloods, Kansas, Duke, who North Carolina's not anywhere near.
No.
Villanova's a 4 right now. Who else? UCLA is not in it.
Gonzaga, I wouldn't consider a blue blood, but no. Maybe the last 20, 30 years, they've been one of the more consistent programs.
What's close to a blue? I'm a colorblind.
Red blood? I don't know.
No.
Purple?
What's blue? Purple?
So
little purple blood.
They're a purple blood?
Purple blood. But they're good enough. They're good enough. They're capable of doing it. You know, Arizona struggled against, not struggled, they got beat by them. Baylor, I don't know. They're not a legit to me. You saw them against Arizona, I'm sure.
Yeah, and they look terrible.
And Arizona almost had a chance to beat them.
Yeah.
On the road, even though nobody saw that game. You know, 2 people are in the arena. So, we'll see. But they're a 5. I like, if they're a 4, that's good too. They have, obviously can be a 4. And now let's talk about baseball, U of A baseball. Everything happens this week. A lot of press conferences this week to kick off the spring schedules. Baseball, 22 in the country. They'll start the season 22 in the Division I poll. And then the softball team will be number 3 in the country. Arizona football softball has come back to being a team of expectations. I was hoping to get Coach Candrea on the show. Maybe I'll get him Thursday. He has a press conference Thursday. I want to ask him this. He's a big, big-time New York Yankee guy. I'll ask him about Jeter. He loved Mickey Mantle and all those guys. But he experienced this 20 years ago, I think, maybe longer than that, when Arizona was number 1, one of the best teams in the country, obviously in softball, and they got beat by UCLA and a woman named Tanya Harding from Australia. I covered him in the Olympics then. It might have been 2000. She pitched UCLA to the national title, beat Arizona in the finals. Not soon after she pitched them to the finals, guess what happened?
What's that?
She was declared ineligible. She was not legitimately, should have pitched for the UCLA Bruins.
Really?
Guess what they did with the title?
Did they vacate it?
They vacated it. So what do you hear now with the Houston Astros and the Dodgers?
You can't vacate those World Series, can you?
They did it. Yeah. So nobody won it in 19, whatever it was.
Mm.
Yeah.
It doesn't make anybody feel good.
No.
No one feels good about
that. Well, it's like USC. Remember USC when with the Reggie Bush stuff?
Yeah.
Did they vacate too, didn't they?
Did they vacate or did they just slap him with a severe penalty?
I don't know. I think we could Google that.
I have to look that up.
But yeah, it's funny because everyone says, well, you know who the best team was, even though we had to cheat with it with Reggie Bush. So.
So let's see. That was
he's forfeited the whole year.
Yeah. Yep, that was it. But they did not vacate their championship. They're still listed as the 2004 national champions. So let's see here. It's and again, I mean, I don't know what this. It's just they gave him a 2-year bowl ban, 4 years probation, loss of scholarships, forfeit an entire year's worth of games, and because of Reggie Bush's improper payment. Oh, Pete Carroll. I forgot he was at USC then.
Yeah, he was the guy. Oh, it says he says likely force to vacate his national championship. I don't see it right there in that graph.
Yeah,
I don't know if that happened. I guess we can find out.
Well, yeah, because this article was written in June of 2010.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you know, I don't. And again, what point does that prove?
There you go.
So, I just don't know what it proves.
It stripped him. Is that what the headline says?
Yep.
It doesn't prove it. That's the whole thing. That's the whole thing. People are even now are talking about just if you cheat, no one will ever forget that you guys won the title. You might not have the title.
Right.
But you were the best team. Were they?
And you know, who's going to say they're not? Because in this case, it wasn't like Reggie Bush was doing steroids or Reggie Bush had, you know, people throwing games to help USC. He was just taking money on the side.
Yeah. You're just as, I get it. Yeah,
I mean,
he was taking money on the side. Yeah,
it's
that, according to the rules, they were. Yeah,
which is still against the rules, but to me, different kettle of fish.
I get it. He wasn't going Superman on everybody,
right?
Physically, yeah. Okay, I don't disagree with you. That's a good way to look at it. But that was the case with Arizona. I wanted to talk to him, and maybe I'll get him on Thursday. We can talk real quick about that and UCLA and softball. Let's take a quick break here on the Heartbreak on 10:30 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. On the other side of the screen is Tom Callahan. So you were doing some Googling there, senor?
I do. I enjoy Googling.
You Googling and you came across some NFL stuff? Some point scoring stuff?
This is kind of interesting, Steve. So I don't know. Onside kicks are terrible now because no one recovers them anymore. They've taken away really the ability to, in my opinion, really have any impact.
Because of?
So you can't run up to the line of scrimmage anymore on a kickoff. So you have to be stationary.
Oh,
the ball still got, yeah. So the ball's still got to travel the 10 yards, but you have to get there from a standing stop, which is almost impossible.
Yeah.
So it used to be about 21% of onside kicks were recovered. Last year it was down to 7.7%. This year it was about
12%. Mm-hmm.
But it's almost a non-factor.
Safety issue?
Yeah, well, exactly. So there's an interesting change the league has proposed at the Pro Bowl this year. It says that after either a field goal or a point after attempt, meaning either a two-point conversion after the touchdown or your mm-hmm. point after, you can either A, so let's say I score a touchdown, kick the point after. I can give you the ball at your own 25, first and 10, no kickoff. Or I can take the ball at my own 25-yard line in what is essentially a 4th and 15.
Mm-hmm.
If I gain on one play 15 yards, I get to keep the ball. If I don't gain 15 yards, you get the ball wherever the dead ball spot is.
Don't you think no one's going to do that unless you have to score a couple of quick touchdowns?
Well, yeah, but that's kind of the point is you've got a better shot at completing 4th and 15 right. than you do recovering a kick.
Right. Right, but you give up the ball really deep into your territory if you don't make it.
You're desperate if you're doing it, but that's why teams are onside kicking. They're desperate.
True, and they start at the 25?
No, if I don't make, let's say I get 12 yards, you would then
the 37.
Correct.
Yeah, but if you don't make it, you have an incompletion.
Get it at the 25.
Yeah, that's I guess if you need to score two touchdowns and you need them now. What do you have to lose?
Right. You're going to go deep.
Yeah. And eventually, guess what they're going to do? They'll get the ball back and sit on it, and you know the game will end.
Right. So I don't really mind that because onside kicks have become a non-event for me.
Right. See, this is how much I don't care about sports at this level anymore, is that I didn't know they couldn't run to get the ball.
Yeah, you can't run up on the kickoff anymore.
Mm-hmm. How long? Since like 1972?
Yeah. at least. That was about when they outlawed the wedge. But yeah, it's, you know, they're trying to keep score. And owners kind of vote down things from time to time. The NFL owners are a weird bunch, aren't they?
A bunch of old dudes.
They're weird.
But there's old, wealthy guys.
Yeah, they're weird, man. They want all the money, all the time, all the attention on their league, yet they're not necessarily always willing to take a chance to improve it and make, heaven forbid, the fan experience better.
Thomas, get off my lawn. Don't tell me how to spend my money.
Get off my AstroTurf.
Get out of my building, AstroTurf.
No, they want me to come in the building. They want to come in the building spend money.
They want you to be one of those football fans you talked about yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Back in my day, we used to wear leather helmets. can you tell?
Yeah, you really can. It's just, I wouldn't mind that. I'd vote in favor of that. I would like to see that. Sure, go for it. Fourth and 15.
Don't tell a rich man how to spend his money.
Yeah.
Or a broke guy like me. You know, it is what it is. So anybody want to call in, please do. 790-2040. You can jump into our gibberish Tuesday. Wing It Tuesday. Anybody have a wing place that you want to sponsor on Wing It Tuesday?
Because we're just out here winging it.
We can taste them on the show.
Oh, my goodness.
Talk about them. We can do our YouTube thing.
Yes.
Say, these are great. You don't have to do the show. Can you do the show from in here? You can't, can you?
No, I'd have to be in here.
You have to be in there. Just in case we get a call. Can't bring your digital remote here.
Yeah, I suppose I could run into the studio, give it a quick wing on camera there, and
run back. Just in case someone calls.
I get sauce all over the board though, Steve.
I did that today, not with wings, but with something else at the office. I got a breakfast burrito, and I was like, I'm in heaven. And it was splattered all over me. You know, the bottom of the thing, the tortilla opened up. Oh, God.
Mm.
It smelled like burrito. It's like my bacon burrito cologne.
Bacon burrito cologne.
Yeah, you know.
Some ladies might find that attractive.
A lot of them probably.
Like, you smell like a breakfast burrito.
How you doing?
Yeah, you're yummy.
Yes. What kind of cologne is it? It's called breakfast. Oi de breakfast.
I like it. You could have several different scents. You could have pancakes with syrup.
Yes.
You could have French toast. Oh, yeah. We make that happen.
There's all I get was a pack of dogs chasing me into the office. I'm talking about dogs, not women dogs.
Right, yeah, like actual dogs.
Actual dogs.
Yeah. No, I know what you meant.
So that was total gibberish right there.
Mm.
So what else is going on in the world of the Hall of Fame? We're good to go. NBA stuff. How good is that? How good is that guy from ASU? I always lose his name as I go with the Houston Rockets.
Okay, so I'm not much of an NBA fan anymore.
God. And I'm joking, of course.
You're gonna lose me on the NBA because, holy cow, I'm...
Mr. James Harden. I was quizzing you. So he's missed like 76 three-pointers over the last seven games. Imagine how many he's taken, because they've been losing a lot lately, and he's just shooting like poop over the last few games, and the Houston Rockets are getting crushed. I don't watch the NBA much, and I was a fairly decent Golden State Warrior guy because of Steve Kerr and the rest of the guys from the U of A on there. But now I kind of don't watch much of it. I just watch the highlights, and it's because it's too crazy, and I don't watch it until the playoffs. So
yeah.
I won't be in two until like May.
That's fair, though, because even the first round, even the Eastern Conference in the NBA, it's not worth watching in the playoffs.
No.
The West is.
Playoffs?
Yes, Jim Mora, playoffs.
Playoffs? You're talking about playoffs? So I don't watch it very much. I was pretty impressed with Phoenix early.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much anymore.
I actually got a little excited for them. I thought they were going to make a little run there, and maybe they're better this year, and nope.
I think they've won 10 or 11 games. Eaton's back. He's played fairly decent after being suspended for 25 games. And actually, he's coincided with the demise of the team. He came on the scene, and he hasn't really helped them do well. So is that the East?
Yeah, let's go to the Western Conference here. The Suns are sitting 11th in the conference.
Which is okay, I guess. They're 18. Oh, they're 18-25.
Yeah,
better than I thought.
419 win percentage.
Yeah, actually, that's great in the West. They had who they have? Oh, Spurs last night. They had the Spurs. They almost beat the Spurs, but then the Spurs came back after they were down by 18. Phoenix came back, and then they lost. I wanted to go up there because I wanted to see if I could talk to Sean Elliott. I haven't talked to him in a couple of years, and no, I didn't go. I'm too busy.
Got a lot going on.
I know. I don't sleep much. I need to see a doctor. It's that bacon smell.
Yes. I was going to say, you're a busy man. You're launching your own breakfast cologne line.
I think that's a great idea. Wait, what's it called? Breakfast? Brunch?
Oh, yeah. You could have all kinds. You could have dessert. You could have anything you need late night.
Well, you already have vanilla and stuff like that, Chuck. Yeah, I'd be like a smorgasbord or a potpourri of scents.
If you had a store, it would be the most unusual store on the planet.
Oh, yes, it'd be a cool store.
They would have all kinds of neat stuff in there.
Yeah, like Willy Wonka stuff.
Let me ask you a question, Steve.
Oh, don't make it personal.
NHL All-Star Game is this week.
Uh-huh.
We are coming up on the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
NBA All-Star Game is not too far away.
Right.
Do All-Star Games matter anymore?
No.
Why do we have them?
Because they're just traditional. I guess. You would know better in hockey. I don't watch hockey. So what's the big deal with that?
Well, hockey changed its format completely a couple of years ago to try to spice things up because it basically, I mean, in hockey, you know, it's not supposed to be, the game is different when it's played with intensity. There's hitting, there's checking, sure, there's not a lot of scoring sometimes. But All-Star games are turning into 15, 14 games where no one bothered playing any defense, and even kind of the goalies gave up because it was 3-on-0 all the time. So the NHL said, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to basically create a 3-on-3 tournament. So it's three players against three other players, and it's split up by divisions now, and you play a round-robin tournament as the All-Star game. It's more interesting than the traditional All-Star game has been for the NHL, but...
How long do these games last?
Not a full. It's, yeah, right. It's like one period.
So one period, so like 12 minutes.
So I think they're like 10 to 15 minutes.
Oh, so that's the three. The three. How many 3-on-3 games do they have?
And then they'll just, so all the divisions play each other. So it, by the end of the day, by the time you get through to the championship, like six of them.
Six of them for 2-3 hours.
Yeah.
And then how do you determine the winner?
It's a mini tournament.
Oh, okay, okay.
Round robin mini
people
tournament.
People can go and obviously watch these guys play, and yeah, it's fun to watch.
Right, and it goes pretty quick.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So and then you just determine you get your Eastern Conference because there's three divisions in each. So you get your two divisions, and you get your winners that come out. And you're right, and then you see who wins.
Yeah, okay. And how do they get voted in?
Fans do the voting, and then beyond that, it's like a combination of, you know, smoke and mirrors behind the scenes.
Right, so it's not necessarily your play throughout the year. If you're popular, they'll want you in.
Yeah, there's always two or three guys in any All-Star game, any sport, that don't belong there based on their numbers. Mm. And then there's always that one guy that the fans pick up and go, we're going to make you the All-Star representative this year, even though you're terrible. So, yeah, there's always that going either way. But I just don't know why we still have All-Star games.
Right, no, baseball the same way. Remember when they tied that one year or whatever it was?
Oh, that was, yeah, they ran out of pitchers.
Yeah.
They just called it a tie.
Right. They ran out of pitchers, and then now it determines who was the home court, home field advantage.
Yeah.
And basketball, not so much defense, 175 to 176.
Right, nobody's paying attention.
Yeah, but I guess it's more so mostly a party. You go and enjoy the weekend with your guys.
Half the players don't want to be there, though.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Which also, the fans know this.
Yeah. Yeah, but the fans are more in for the fanfare. They're more in for the fun, and maybe they'll get a autograph or whatever.
If you go to the event, yes, I can agree.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not. I can't remember the last time I watched an All-Star game, especially in football, because they don't hit each other. Not that I want to see hitting, but... What's the excitement there?
Yeah, and after they had a couple of guys get hurt, they really changed a lot of things out.
Right, and a lot of them got hurt in the beach.
Well, they got rid of that, the flag football on the beach. Yeah. Who was it that blew out a knee or something like that?
Yeah,
yeah. Was it from the Giants, maybe? Yeah.
We'll Google it. Let's take a break here, and now we can Google it.
And we can Google everything.
Yes, thank God for Google. Let's take a break here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10-3 The Voice. I'm in with Tom Callahan, my guy on the other side of the booth, talking gibberish about sports. I just saw a clip, and you probably see some worse things in hockey. Purdue was playing Illinois, and they're going after a rebound, and the Purdue guy falls on the ground, and the Illinois guy falls with him, kind of gets up and steps on him. And he's thrown out of the game. Happened here a while back with Chase Budinger and a guy from Houston. The guy was thrown out, and Arizona was dead. They were dead. The game was dead.
Yeah.
With like a couple minutes left, and they were down by 11, and they ended up winning. It was one of the great comebacks in Arizona time in the last 20 years. And it propelled them actually to play better and get to the tournament. But it happens a lot. I'm sure it happens like that, dirty play in hockey. It's dangerous as heck. I saw one the other day. Is some guy just kind of accidentally hit a guy in the face with a stick? Accidentally?
Yeah,
that happens a lot, I'm sure. Mm. Accidentally.
Yeah, and there. I mean, there's some on purpose, but even the accidental ones are bad.
Yeah, I'd say that sarcastically.
No. You saw the accidental on purpose?
Yeah.
That happens.
That would be all these guys wearing the guards and their teeth are knocked out and man.
Yeah. One of the more gruesome injuries I remember, though, from basketball was just a couple of years ago. Remember that kid in the tournament who slammed into the base of the backboard and just like shattered his leg?
Oh, I've seen that. That wasn't the Louisville guy.
Yeah,
the
Louisville kid.
I've seen that here a couple of times when they shatter their kneecap when they're coming down and they fall incorrectly and their kneecap just
gives
up. Oh man, that's ugly. I've broken my leg in a couple of places playing ball and. Let me tell you something. It just freaks me out because I know that pain. It was awful.
Yeah. I'll never forget the Super Bowl, the Niners-Bengals Super Bowl, where Tim Crumry broke his leg, and they showed it from every conceivable angle.
Yeah, look at this. Look at this.
Before they decided that, you know, that maybe we shouldn't show those injuries 100 times on repeat.
Was that before or after the Theismann?
Oh, the Theismann was not. That was after Theismann, but it was around the same era. Oh, yeah. that was gruesome, too. Theismann, oof. Yikes. There have been some bad ones over the years.
Right.
Oh, I don't mean to laugh at those guys, but it makes you uncomfortable when you think back to some of those. But Robert Edwards, by the way, was the answer. The Patriots drafted him out of Georgia. He was a rookie running back, and he had over 1,000-yard season. Went to the NFL, used to have a rookie flag football game.
Oh, what?
And he shredded his knee, Robert Edwards.
God, I thought it was more a bigger name than that.
Well, he only really played 1 year.
Oh, wow.
And he had a good rookie season, but he just never – he ended up coming back with the Dolphins for 12 games, didn't really make an impact, played in the CFL for 2 years, and actually gained over 1,000 yards a year in the CFL. But, I mean, whatever could have been for Robert Edwards never materialized because of that.
I thought it was like
rookie flag football injury.
I thought it was some guy from the Pittsburgh Steelers that we all knew, something like that, some big guy, big-time guy. Not to the level of Randy Moss, but somebody like that.
Mm.
But this is Hawaii, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I guess it was that guy. I don't know.
There might have been a Pro Bowl injury or two. I feel like the Pro Bowl is another one where the reason the guys don't hit is they don't want to hurt anybody.
Right. They're already getting paid to be there. The only thing they're not getting paid, well, they're paid for the all-star, the guy, you know, the MVP.
Although, you know what? I've been more successful in hockey than any other sport as a player. And I was a goalie, and there were always I was on some teams that were pretty good. And towards the end of the year, you go out, and once or twice I had the idea in my head. I'm like, okay, I just need to get through this game. It doesn't necessarily matter if we win or lose, but I want to not get hurt.
Right,
Steve. The two times I had that thought in my head that I played not to get hurt, I got hurt both games.
Yeah, right. Isn't that what they tell you? Don't think about this stuff because it's going to happen.
Yeah, because you're not playing hard enough.
Right, or something.
Right.
Yeah.
You're trying to take care, and you're not playing your usual game.
It's called, it's not called karma, it's called destiny. No, it's not. It's called being unlucky.
Yeah.
But you're exactly right. You got to play at 100% or you're going to get beat. You're trying to protect yourself and you're not going to.
Yes.
It's like playing not to lose in defense.
Right.
And guess what happens?
You get beat. Yeah. That's why I hate the pre-event.
Right.
Hate the pre-event.
It happens all the time. They give you like 20 yards and they eventually get 40 on you. And then now in the final minutes, guess what you're up against? An onside kick because they've scored already and they need to score again.
Yeah. I never understood just saying, all right, well, here's 15 yards up the middle. Go for it.
Right. You can have your 15 yards, but you're not going to get 30. Well, give me two 15s and that's a 30.
I mean, you can still play a deep zone and accomplish essentially the same thing. Just don't get beat deep. You're an NFL cornerback or an NFL safety. You should understand this.
Right, right. But isn't it human nature to kind of ease off when you have that type of lead or whatever? It's kind of like when you the upsets. You kind of ease off, and then you don't realize until you're down, and you have to come back. I don't know. I'm a big psychology of the sport guy, and that's just how teams get beat. They're just not ready, or they think they're overconfident or whatever. I've seen it 1,000 times. I mean, that's an exaggeration. I've seen it 100 times, maybe.
If I've told you once, I've told you 1,000,000 times, don't exaggerate.
Right. Is that another one of your little sayings?
That's another one of my little dad jokes.
Yeah. If you guys want to call in, please do. We only have like 8 minutes of this gibberish, 790-2040. It's called the Wing It Tuesday. Anybody wants to get me a wing place to support Tuesday's Wing It?
I'll just take some wings.
Yeah, I'll find one.
Are you bone-in or boneless wings?
Good question.
God, I have to have the traditional. I'm from Buffalo. I need the traditional with the wing on the bone. I'm not a boneless
guy. The skinny one? Is it the flat wing or is
it the flats or drums don't matter. I don't care either
way. Just got to be good tasting. Mm-hmm. I used to be a boneless, but they're not as good as the bone-in. True?
You're preaching to the choir.
Yeah, okay. I just want to make sure if I'm not thinking things or tasting things incorrectly.
And down here, I've noticed that people, and in the Midwest, I've also noticed, people drown things in ranch.
Yes.
I like blue cheese with my wings.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
well, no. That's the thing where I grew up. I mean, yeah, in Buffalo, yeah, sure. You get blue cheese with your wings.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so, no, it's ranch here.
Yeah, no, it's ranch with everything here, Steve. It doesn't matter what it is.
That's true. French fries and everything.
Yeah.
Not for me, but.
Yeah, your breakfast burrito, ranch, you know, your steak, ranch. What? You know, it's.
Ranch will not be a cologne I'll be testing.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah. What else is going on today in the world of sports? We didn't talk about Zeke Najee becoming the freshman of the week in the conference yesterday.
Third time, right.
Yeah. I know when I did the story yesterday for the website, it was a big, big fan favorite for that. He was pretty good on Saturday. He was like a man possessed on getting after rebounds. He'll have to continue to do that. Obviously, I think one of the big stories was Ira Lee giving the team some spark. I'm not sure that happens all the time. He is the energy guy, and I think that's been overstated a lot. But he doesn't provide a whole lot of rebounds. I mean, doesn't provide a lot of scoring. He provides rebounds and just being aggressive and being who he is. And he dunks the ball. And he's just the energy guy. But you need a guy like that, a guy who's not going to be who knows a guy who knows his role, and he knows his role. Are you looking up scores now?
Yeah, I'm just trying to see if there's any upsets in progress right now for any of the ranked teams.
No,
because
no.
I mean, you never know.
No. This weekend was one of those weekends.
Yeah.
Where most of the ranked teams were getting beat, and many of them got beat. I think one of the ones that didn't get beat was Baylor, because he had to come back against Oklahoma State. But you see that. You see that all the time. And especially now when some of the bigger teams start hitting the wall, especially those with freshmen, hint, hint, that could happen here, the freshman wall, the proverbial freshman wall. And maybe they won't all come together at the same time, but it happens.
Well, I think some of them have kind of already hit at least a bump, if not the wall.
Who like Arizona?
Arizona, yeah. I think a couple of the guys have kind of run up against it a little bit here and are seeing it. I think that's part of the inconsistency of their play, to be honest with you. I think they're hitting those stretches where they're not playing well for 2-3 games at a time. I think that's part of it. I don't think your wall has to be 10 games long. I think you can hit a bunch of little ones.
I don't know about that. I understand what you're saying. I think it's kind of like a weekend where you kind of have to say, well, now where they're, 18 games in or whatever, and this is the time of year, late January, February, when you don't usually play these many games, and it's a physical game and blah, blah, blah. But if you're... It's like Mike Bibby, I can't remember him ever going through it. There's certain players that just don't see it. Mannion could, maybe, I doubt it. Green hasn't been great, so it's hard to say whether he will or won't. Najee, you'll tell if he's hits it if he doesn't play well, because he's pretty consistent with how he plays. In fact, I did a big story for Basketball Times recently, and it came out just a couple weeks ago, about how good he is and how he started and all the success he's had. because no one thought he would have the success compared to Mannion and Green. And he's been a huge, he's been probably the most important player on the team. Would you agree, Jen?
Yeah, you could make that argument.
So if he's had the who's the most important player on the team?
Hmm. You know, okay, so if you're asking, are you asking me the MVP or
to this point, yes.
So I kind of feel like Najee's my guy.
Right. Who's the most important player on the team?
That and that kind of opens it up. Mm-hmm. Maybe yeah, well, that's tough because isn't that, that's kind of the always the argument about an MVP. Most valuable player to his team.
Mm-hmm.
So
it would be him again?
I think so, for me.
Who would be the most important player you could not afford to lose?
I think, again, that's probably Najee. All three of them.
I think that I agree with you for two of those things.
Okay.
I think that the guy that you can't afford to lose is Najee. The guy that the MVP is Najee, but the most important guy is Mannion. When he's doing really well. And he's done okay. He hasn't been the guy that you thought he would be, but he's a freshman, and you know everyone. He's a lottery pick, and all yada yada. He hasn't played to the lottery pick overall, but he's. You need him. You need him. The good thing is he has. If he doesn't play well, the other guys can kind of step up.
Right.
Yeah.
See, that's where you need your depth.
Yeah, and use it correctly.
Well, that's on the coach.
Yes. Yes, that was quick. We kind of gibberished our way through this whole show.
We just need wings and we're complete.
Yes, yes, every Tuesday. So tomorrow I have a guest, a basketball coach guest, and then Thursday probably another guest, and Friday we'll get ready for the ASU football basketball game here on 10:30 The Voice. Talk to you tomorrow. Thanks.